The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Money FM 89.3, you're listening to Singapore's most influential radio station, and you're in the Breakfast Huddle with Elliot Danko, Manisha Tank and Ryan Hwang. It is time for The Bigger Picture, and it's all about oil.
Yes, and that is because oil prices have hit an 18-year low, dropping nearly 6% overnight. And this is a big one because going into tomorrow, the existing output cuts will expire. So it's going to be every member for themselves, and they have promised to ramp up production. So there is a bit of a fighting going on between OPEC, Russia, and to a certain extent, the U.S. energy sector. To get a bigger picture around this, we've got Warren Patterson. He is the head of commodity strategy at ING. Morning, Warren. How are you doing?
Good morning, Ryan. Very well. Thanks yourself.
Hey, Warren, walk us through what is happening right now in terms of oil. You have this existing production cut set to expire tomorrow. What are you looking out for?
Well, yeah, obviously it's pretty clear that starting tomorrow, we're going to see OPEC plus members increasing output, given the group failed to come to a deal to extend and make deeper output cuts for the remainder of the year. We expect Saudi Arabia will lead the way. It's anticipated that they will increase output towards their sustainable capacity of around 12 million barrels a day in the near term. So that's more than 2 million barrels a day above their current production levels. Then if we look at someone like Russia, in the near term, they can probably increase output in the region of 200,000 to 300,000 barrels a day. And then all the other members of the deal, they'll likely also increase output, given that, you know, in a low-price environment, if you want to try sustain revenues, the one way of doing that is by pumping more.
And the other, I guess, angle to look at this is the prices. You've got prices dropping nearly 56% in the past month, and now we are looking at around $20 per barrel. How low can oil go? What are you expecting in the next month or the next quarter?
Yeah, I mean, well, firstly, I think it's important to remember that the breakdown of this deal, it couldn't have come at a worse time. You know, we're dealing with a significant amount of demand destruction as a result of the COVID-19 outbreak. Estimates vary between, at the moment, we're seeing between 15 and 20 million barrels a day of demand destruction. And that does mean that the oil market is set to see a significant surplus for at least the next 3 months. Now, what does that mean for oil prices? Well, we do believe that over the next 3 months, ICE Brent will trade into the teens. We're anticipating that ICE Brent will probably average around $20 a barrel over the second quarter of this year.
Okay.
Now, that obviously does assume that we do not see a deal, a surprise deal from OPEC Plus in the coming weeks.
All right, Brent potentially reaching the teens, below 20 in the foreseeable future. We're chatting with Warren Patterson. He's the head of commodities strategy at ING. Warren, walk us through the background of this. You've got seemingly Russia attempting to target the U.S. energy sector. So that's the, I guess, conspiracy theory that we've been hearing. Are you on that same page? How much can Russia stomach the low oil prices?
Well, if we look at the broader OPEC plus group, once again, I mean, the Russians are probably the best positioned from a fiscal break-even oil price to stomach these lower prices. So the Russians need only a little over $40 a barrel to balance their budget. Now, if we compare that to someone like Saudi Arabia, they need somewhere in the region of $80 a barrel. So the Russians are fairly well positioned relative to other oil producers. Now, yes, clearly the Russians are doing this because they want to kill U.S. shale. This is going to be something which takes a while, right? It's not going to happen overnight that you see U.S. oil production falling off a cliff. But we've already seen a slowdown in drilling activity from the U.S. In fact, last week we saw the biggest weekly decline in rig activity in the U.S. since 2015. So that should mean that in a few, you know, several months down the line, so probably more of a second half of 2020, we will start seeing a slowdown in U.S. production. And it's widely anticipated that, second half of this year and then going into 2021, we see quite big declines in U.S. oil output as a result of these lower prices.
Hey, Warren, walk us through the winners and losers from this oil crash, right? We've got oil prices being so low. Is that going to be good news for the likes of like India and China, which import a lot of oil? So that is going to be beneficial to their economies.
You'd say from a top-level point of view, yes. I mean, low prices are obviously good for consumers. So yes, the likes of India and China. But then again, right, I mean, there's a price which is too low for the global market, and I think we're at those levels which are basically too low for everyone. You need higher oil prices to also promote sort of economic growth,
right,
so within the Gulf nations. And if you don't have those high oil prices, well, is there going to be demand from them for, say, Chinese goods and that?
Okay, and Warren, switching our attention to something that has been getting a lot of attention as well, that is gold, and prices have been quite volatile. And to some extent, it is not behaving as what it has traditionally been seen as a safe haven asset. What's your take on this right now? If you look at the prices now at 1617, and for the month, it's up by 1.8%, and so far, it's seemingly moving in step with the equity markets.
You know, I mean, we have seen increased volatility in gold over the last month, and I think part of this does reflect increased speculative activity. But also, again, earlier in March, there was an element where participants were liquidating gold positions in order to meet margin calls elsewhere. But saying that, I think it's safe to say that gold does remain a safe haven asset. I mean, as you say, it continues to trade above $1,600 an ounce. If we look at ETF holdings in the yellow metal, they're basically at an all-time record high. So this does suggest that investors continue to be attracted to its safe haven appeal, particularly during these uncertain times.
All right, we're chatting with Warren Patterson. He's the head of commodity strategy at ING, helping us to give an outlook on oil prices, where he is looking out for Brent prices to hit their teens. Warren, thank you so much for your analysis this morning.
Thanks very much, Ryan.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance.